This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Stifle Tower again. Is it going to be Jimmy Butler going ham against his former team? Jimmy Butler was a Minnesota Timberwolf. There's a lot of cross connections with both of these franchises, and it finally is going to culminate in this playoff series against them.
So obviously Jimmy has his history when Thibodeau was the coach there.
Yep.
And he...
Tibbs, by the way, I was watching the game yesterday. Sorry, not to cut you off in your tangent. Tibbs has actually, honestly, he's looked the same the last 15 plus years. And the amount of the little hair that he has left on his head has somehow stayed the same. So shout out Tibbs.
The Homer Simpson.
The big Knicks win yesterday in the Garden.
Jimmy Butler played for him there and obviously had... You know, the Andrew Wiggins, Carl Anthony Towns situation at practice with the Rolex, where Jimmy showed up, played in a Rolex, and I believe with all the backups, like we'll get the whole story from Nick Friedell, but kicked the crap out of all the starters with all the backups. And it's a very infamous story that has been told all over the land for the last, what, 7-8 years regarding Jimmy Butler. So obviously he has stuff. We referenced the Steph stuff where they had an opportunity to take not just Steph Curry once. They could have took him twice, and they took two other point guards ahead of him. Literally.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Two picks before. There's the whole Andrew Wiggins trade, D'Angelo Russell. You know, the Warriors during the Kevin Durant era, Kevin leaves. They get D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell was best friends with Carl Anthony Towns. Carl Anthony Towns wanted him on the team. The Warriors knew this kind of preemptively, of course, according to Anthony Slater. And when they acquired D'Angelo, they had their hearts set on moving him because they got something back for KD, not nothing. And in an attempt to keep Carl Anthony Towns and have him resign there, Minnesota was like, hey, we'll swing a deal for your friend D'Angelo Russell. Not only did the Warriors get Andrew Wiggins, they got a draft pick out of it.
I have the quote here. This is going back 7 years ago, back to 2018 in regards to Jimmy Butler and that whole story you're talking about. There's a quote in there that I love, and it just, I think this speaks to who Jimmy Butler is and his mindset as a player and a person. And this is what he told Rachel Nichols, who was then ESPN at the time. Yeah. Obviously, him and Rachel Nichols, they have a relationship when it comes to, you know, the ingress, egress of a journalist. Quote, stop. Quote, this is Jimmy Butler. And this was after the entire thing that went down at practice when he was going hard at them. So back in 2018, quote, am I being tough on him, Karl Anthony Towns? Yeah, that's who I am. I'm not the most talented player on the team. Who is the most talented player on our team? Cat. Who is the most God-gifted player on our team? Wiggs. Who plays the hardest? Me. I play hard. I put my body on the line every day in practice, every day in games. That's my passion. Everybody leads in different ways. That's how I show I'm here for you. So that was like
a hell of a quote.
So he was basically calling them out and saying, you guys are better than me. Like, you have more talent than me, but you're not going to outwork me. No. And you could get on my level. And that's kind of that Mamba mentality. That's what Kobe always did. He didn't respect other people that had, he saw talent in them, but they never worked as hard as he did. So that's why in games, he didn't trust them. That's what it goes back to. And you can go back to, if that's a selfish mindset, that's not trusting your teammates, but how could, and that's how Jimmy felt. How could I trust you if you're not willing to give it your all in practice? If you're not going to do what I do every single day when I don't have as much talent as you, much God-given talent as you guys, I'm going to work harder than you. You're not going to even try to step up to my level. Yeah, I don't respect you then. And that's just who he is.
So with no Karl Anthony Towns, is that residue still there? Probably not with the players.
And no Wiggs, obviously. Yeah.
But with the fans,
You
know, you scorn me, I'm going to remember forever. Like if I say, and it's to a much lesser degree, but if I say Kelly Oubre, you get a lot of eye rolls from Warrior fans.
Yes.
Right? Like you just do. You flat out do. And so I'm going to assume every time he touches the ball, he'll get a nice round of boos. Right. But we're going to talk to Nick Friedell at some point. What is it, 7 o'clock hour?
7:20. Nick Friedell, our Odyssey NBA insider, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Cousin Nick Friedell, you know him, you love him. One of the greatest laughs in the history of the station. I got like a bunch of them. I'll play them here. You say, there's one.
He'll give us a good feel for how Jimmy Butler will be perceived in this entire series.
Yes.
I'm interested for that. Then there's like a Dante DiVincenzo angle where the Warriors a couple years ago made a deal to get rid of James Wiseman. We'll get to Wiseman in a second. And they got GP2 back. And when they got GP2 back, it felt like Dante DiVincenzo had his entire role cut in half. And he felt really diminished, I believe, once they acquired GP2. And we get it. Like, GP2 is kind of a beloved guy between Steph and Dre and Kerr. You know, Kerr trusts him and loves him and whatnot. He's one of the trusted agents.
Mm-hmm.
And DiVincenzo, I think, felt some kind of way. But I also feel like I don't know what Dante would have expected. He was on the mid-level exception. The Warriors could only offer him so much because once you're on that mid-level exception, you can't just give them anything they want in free agency because of the really specific CBA rules. He was probably a one-and-done player. Now, I liked him much more than GP2,
yes,
but I also understood there were certain matchups where GP2 fit a little better. I love DiVincenzo, but I still think that there's a little bit of bitterness between him and the Warriors, and that's kind of been reported off and on. Bonte was alluding to it yesterday. Mm-hmm. That is an interesting angle that's kind of like a sub-subplot. But he's a guy that I think is really important for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
There's so many angles in this matchup. That's why it's so fun. And there's the star power, too. Let's be honest. Like, Anthony Edwards, if he knocks out LeBron James and then Stephen Curry, like, yeah, face of the league is definitely a possibility. I know we talk about face of the league. Like, you can't create the face of the league. No. That is something that you just earn. And it's not media driven. It's not. It just happens. And this guy has the personality. He has the playing style. He's going to talk that talk. He's going to give you all the quotes. He is must-watch TV and post-game interview. And let's not get it twisted. There was an opportunity a couple years ago. Well, not a couple years now. 5 years ago, whatever it was. When the Warriors, they had a draft pick. High draft pick, number 2 overall. Was Anthony Edwards going to be a real possibility potentially for them? Well, Anthony Edwards recalls a time that Steve Kerr said the Warriors wouldn't take him.
I was going through the drills and he kept stopping them like, that's all you got, that's all you got. And I'm like, bro, I'm going hard as you want me to go. Like, what you want me to do? I'm sweating crazy. He like, man, you got to see Steph and KD and Klay work out. And we went to dinner that night And they still was continuously telling me, like, you didn't work hard enough. Like, if we had the number one pick, we wouldn't take you. And I was just like, damn, that's crazy. So me and my trainer ran home after dinner, and we just talking like, bro, we got to pick it up. I don't know how. I don't know what we got to do, like, but we got to pick it up. And I think after that, man, it's just I became a madman in the gym, and, like, I try to work to – I'm tired. I'm exhausted.
Look at Steve Kerr motivating a young player. Do you guys say he can't develop talent? Come on.
So the Timberwolves, this is after the 15-50 season for the Warriors,
mm-hmm.
where they, you know, Steph hurt his hand and Clay was out for the entire year and KD left. And it was the pandemic. Minnesota gets the number one pick and the Warriors have the number two pick. And this is from Anthony Slater's Athletic article this morning.
2020 NBA draft.
There's some dispute and fuzzy recollection on the negotiation tactics deployed in the lead up, but both teams certainly tested the waters to see what was out there. The Warriors, league sources said, had conversations about trading up, trading back, and even the lone trade up possibility, which would be Minnesota, before ultimately deciding to stick it too. Now, this is the part that I find the most interesting. The Warriors never believed the Timberwolves would take Wiseman with the first pick, and because of that, didn't feel any internal incentive to trade up. Wiseman was the top player on their board, and even if they moved to one, they would have selected him over Edwards. Warriors owner Joe Lacob, certainly a Wiseman proponent, but team sources have always maintained it was consensus selection from ownership to Bob Myers, to Kerr, to the veteran players who were consulted and approved of a swing for the center of the future. That, to me, is the most incredible line of them all. Everybody wants to pin Wiseman on Bob or pin Wiseman on Lacob. The fact that Anthony Slater put it in print that there was consensus on Kerr and the veteran players, and we know who he's talking about. He's talking about Steph and Dre and Clay. That's who he's talking about.
Yes.
The fact that they all were in consensus on taking Wiseman, I'm throwing my hands up. Now, I think it's really easy today to sit here and say, well, duh, Anthony Edwards. Yeah, but I remember doing all those COVID shows
coming out of Georgia.
Leading up to the draft, okay? I remember them. And there were a lot of concerns. And it sounds dumb now. Trust me. In retrospect, what I'm going to say is going to sound crazy. But I remember doing the shows every day, okay?
I was there.
The amount of people who were like, I don't know if Anthony Edwards loves the game.
Oh.
He says he might do a rap album. Huh. Remember? We were talking about silly things. Like, Google it. Anthony Edwards rap album. He was sitting in a car, and he did an interview, and it didn't present very well. There were, hey, how could this guy not take that team farther, his college team, in the playoffs?
Right.
There were questions on what's his work ethic going to be like. He's not 6'7", you know, he's actually a little shorter. I know he's athletic and he's a dunker, but can he shoot? Can he dribble? Can he see the floor? Now, all of these things sound so dumb right now because he feels like he has a motor that you can't quantify and the heart of a champion. But I'm going back to that time, the fact that the veterans were co-signing on Wiseman. Now, look, the organization got it wrong. Okay, they're paid to get it right. They got it wrong. They got it wrong. They got it wrong. They got it wrong. Is there an alternate universe where they should have traded up and got Anthony Edwards? Of course there is. But again, like, everyone was on board.
And the fact that they did win a title, I know James Wiseman didn't contribute to that. Like, hey, you won a title in the grand scheme of things. It's not going to cost you. But it could cost you if you don't win another one and Anthony Edwards goes on to win one. Like, I don't know how it meant, like,
if you miss, you miss, Joe. Like for example, Darko Milicic, they won the championship, the Detroit Pistons. They missed. They missed on the pick.
Well, can you miss if you never had an opportunity to get him? If Minnesota was going
to
take him all along, like, then you never really had an opportunity.
Process. Right? Process over results, right? The process that led them to that pick was obviously flawed.
But there's a really realistic scenario that they never had an opportunity to draft.
Okay, that might be
like
that
LaMelo
might be
Ball
accurate.
Is the guy I think a lot of people bring up because you could have drafted LaMelo Ball.
But the fact that they're admitting that they never really truly considered Anthony Edwards and had an opportunity, maybe in some weird world, to trade up. Now, it's not the end all be all, but I'm just saying, like, you picked the wrong guy. Right. You guys all assessed the wrong guy.
Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. So we heard from Anthony Edwards there talking about that workout, and he needs to, you know, get on a different level when it comes to his workouts, because Stephen Curry, he's on a whole nother level when it comes to that. Him, LeBron, guys like that, they're just built different. And Steve Kerr was trying to challenge him. And it worked, because Anthony Edwards was motivated enough to change his workout routine. And now we heard from Anthony Edwards. Here's Steve Kerr retelling that famous story about the pre-draft workout.
It's a funny story. I mean, I didn't really think much of it at the time. I didn't think I was, you know, doing anything special. We were working him out. I think it was in Atlanta. It was during COVID. So, you know, nobody there. I think it's Joe Lake, Bob Myers, and me. And then Ant goes out to work out with his trainer. We're the only five people in the whole gym. And after 15 minutes of just watching him lazily shoot 15 footers, I thought, when's the workout going to start? And it turned out that was the workout. You know, so I just went down there and I said, hey, can we see something more? Like, and I think he was kind of surprised. So they picked it up. It picked up the pace a little bit. And more than anything, it was just a reminder of how young Ant was. I don't think he really knew what a hard workout was at that point. He was getting started with his career. And then we had dinner that night, and Bob and I both talked about Steph and Kevin Durant and Clay and how hard they work and what it takes to be great. And he was genuinely captivated by, you know, hearing stories about those guys. But I didn't think anything of it. We went back and worked him out 2 weeks later, and the workout was way better. Like, he really went hard. And at that point, we were sure. We weren't sure after the first one, you know. And then after the second one, we were sure. And you could see he was just exploding with talent and charisma. So, you know, that was basically the pre-draft story. And then obviously Minnesota took him before our turn. But, you know, a year later, he's telling that story about that inspired him. And it kind of caught me off guard. I didn't really realize that it was that big of a deal. But it was pretty cool that he said that. And I think it shows, you know, he's a young guy who wants to learn, wants to be great.
And obviously Steve Kerr, having coached him for Team USA, and famously saying, like, hey, you know, Dwayne Wade, he came off the bench. You know, great players have come off the bench before. He's like, yeah, there's no Kobe's on this team. So, you know, I'm not coming off the bench.
I love that Ant-Man remembers everyone who slighted him, because I think the truly great players, you know, obviously Michael's like one of the biggest examples. Michael at his own Hall of Fame induction is like ripping a high school coach, you know.
But, well, his the meme, right? I took that personally.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah. But so does Steph.
Yeah.
You know, so did Kobe.
Did you love real quick the pettiness of Steph? It felt like he was like after the game, not pettiness, but like his fit, the glasses,
clearly
everything.
He was trolling them.
Oh, he was. I loved every second of it. Continue.
But not, this is why I love Anthony Edwards, because I think a lot of us can relate to that. I know a specific individual, there's actually two of them, who in this industry told me I would never work, that had big jobs within the industry and had big power. And, you know, they basically dogged me. And to this day, if I see that individual, I want to like shove it in their face. I can't stand them. I literally despise looking at that human being when I see their stuff pop up online, and it fuels me every single day. So there is a relatability to Anthony Edwards being like feeling slighted by Steve Kerr, and that fueling him. And whether it's real or not, he perceived it and used it as motivation, right, to fuel his fire. I love that.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the Free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. About 15 minutes, we're going to get cousin Nick Friedell, our Odyssey NBA insider, joining us. And again, 8:30, Anthony Slater, our Warriors insider for here on 95.7 The Game, and obviously covers the team for The Athletic. Warriors, Timberwolves tonight. Coverage of that starts at 5:30 with Warriors Live. Willard and Dibs will have that call and then hand it off to Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert right here, 95.7 The Game, 6:30 tip in Minnesota. Can't wait for that. I don't know what that was. That was actually not really a Minnesota accent. That was more of like a leprechaun.